Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. This week, we'll hear the final installment of Harvest Public Media's Farmer of the Future series. Two basic types of farms are proliferating in the U.S., very big and very small. But medium-sized, self-sustaining family farms have declined dramatically. So does that mean that the farmer of the future will either be the benefactor of an enormous family operation or the owner of a lifestyle farm? Not necessarily. A few people are finding ways to break into mid-level production agriculture. Wrapping up Harvest Public Media's series on the farmer of the future, KCUR's Frank Morris spoke to one of them.
A few years ago, things were going smoothly for Eric Neal and his family.
I was a construction superintendent for a fantastic company.
Neal was making good money, traveling the country, running challenging job sites, but he wasn't satisfied.
I decided that I wanted to be a farmer. I've always wanted to be a farmer, and so we met with an extension agent and just challenged him to tell us how we could make a living off of our farm and no other way.
That is a tall order. Small farms don't tend to support themselves with just the commodities they produce. Enormous farms do, but it takes a fortune in land and equipment to get one going. The number of big operations has grown as successful producers build super-efficient mega farms. And as Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack pointed out in Kansas City a couple of years ago, mid-sized farms are meanwhile vanishing fast.
10 years ago, we had 110,000 dairy producers. Today, we have about 65,000. Everybody satisfied with those trends?
Eric Neal wasn't. He decided to plunge in, to switch gears in his mid-40s, and try to make a go of it as a grazing dairyman.
Come on, boss! Come on! These girls are getting some new grass.
Neal's 120 or so cows live outside all year round on the gentle rolling pastures south of Kansas City near Freeman, Missouri. Walking a lot and living mostly on grass, Neal's cows produce less milk than their grain-fed, barn-housed cousins in megadairies. But the costs are lower, too.
It's how to get started, because it doesn't take as much money. It is that simple. A low-input business model.
As long as it rains. If it doesn't, Neal's grass withers, and so do his profits. He has to buy feed. In the milk barn, Neal works fast and efficiently, marching cows into position, feeding them, placing suction cups under each udder, dodging cow poop, treating the udders, cleaning up, and moving on. He does this twice a day.
When I'm really on my game, I can milk 100 cows in an hour by myself.
The work just about never stops around here, and the whole family has to chip in. Neal's wife, Julie Neal, looks back fondly on her days before agriculture.
You don't know what you have until it's gone. I mean, I had a really easy life.
Now, like most farm wives, Neal has chores. Lots of them. In the spring, she nurses dozens and dozens of calves, mixing, hauling, and feeding sometimes 80 gallons of formula a day. She cleans the barns, builds fences, and runs the house. She also keeps the books and sometimes struggles to make them balance.
It is hard and it's stressful, but we're very proud of what we do.
And these days, a lot more people seem to appreciate it.
Old man, sad old man, spent his life living off the land. Dirty hands and a clean soul.
I heard in it, I'm not sure which country song it was, but the line, dirty hands and a clean soul, really, I heard that and it really kind of hit me.
Callaway Neal, the Neal's older son, is heading to the University of Missouri this fall to study ag economics. Callaway says living and working on a real farm distinguishes he and his brother, Carter, in lots of ways.
It definitely has advantages. I mean, I'm known at school, and Carter is too, as, you know, dairy kids. We're the kids who sometimes leave at lunch because the cows get out, and that's a big deal.
When they're here, they really don't like being a dairy farmer that much. But when they get a mile from here, man, they are some dairy farming dudes. They are dairy farmers to the core.
And Eric Neal is hoping the mystique will draw at least one of his two boys back to the farm after college. The family's kicking around some ideas about how they might be able to market their milk more profitably in the future. For now, though, Neal's just proud to be making it in the food production business.
It's not supposed to work. It's not supposed to work. It's supposed to be a thing of the past, not a thing of the future. We're supposed to be a tourist attraction instead of a viable business.
Neal would like to see a lot more people defying a 100-year trend and stepping back into production agriculture. He'd be the first to tell you, though, that making it in this business takes planning, dedication, money, luck, and a lot of hard work. Frank Morris, Harvest Public Media.
Summer is officially upon us, but with the recent hot and dry weather, it may feel like summer started weeks ago. Numbers show that the month of May will rank as the eighth driest. It also ranks among the top five warmest Mays on record for the state. Last spring was roughly 3 degrees warmer than the average seasonal temperature. MU Assistant Professor of Climatology Patrick Anan says the warm weather will likely continue through summer.
Historically, if you were to look at the top 15 driest Mays on record for the state, more than likely, those following summers were hotter and drier than normal. We have records that go back well over 100 years, so that puts into perspective on how dry the month of May was here in the state of Missouri.
Ganan says the reason behind the hot and dry weather was a ridge of high pressure over the central part of the country. Troughs of low pressure over the east and west coasts allowed more precipitation. This blocking pattern persisted for several months, causing the dry and warm weather. New research out of Washington University suggests that laws restricting how late at night teens can drive or how many passengers they can have may also be keeping teens from driving drunk. St. Louis Public Radio's Veronique LaCapra has more.
The study used data from 1999 to 2009 on teen drinking and driving in 45 states with graduated driving licensing laws. WashU psychologist Patricia Cavazos led the study. She says states adopted teen driving restrictions at different times and that some states are stricter than others. She says Missouri only started restricting teen driving in 2007.
We didn't specifically look at Missouri, but we can say that for those states with strict graduated driving licensing laws, we are observing a reduction in teen drinking and driving behaviors.
Cavazos says the next step will be to determine what kinds of restrictions are most effective at keeping teens from driving under the influence. I'm Veronique LaCapra.
That's it for this week's Under the Microscope. Thanks for listening. Just a reminder that you can listen to this episode and others by going to our website, kbia.org.